Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you into the 9 o'clock hour. All right, so we can get to Chris Sims and CJ Stroud in a second. But playing off our last segment where we were talking about the intrigue in the Turkey Leg Hut documentary that appears to be coming out, we'll see. You have a story.
I brought up that my dad was once, he wasn't charged with arson, but his restaurant burned to the ground. Classic story of my dad who is, splitting time between his dairy farm and a seafood restaurant that he had started called the, what was it called? It was something like the Fish Hut or something like that. I think it was the Fish Hut.
Where was it? What part of the country?
Upstate New York, okay. Farmington, New York.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
So it was right off, it was just a little restaurant, and he would, he'd milk cows all day. Then he would, manage the Fish Hut, and then sometimes he'd have to make a midnight run down to a fish market in New York City to pick up fish. And I don't know
New
who
York
else.
City.
It might have maybe packets of heroin or something. I don't know. So this was all when I was very, very young, and I didn't know anything about it other than that, it seemed like my dad was working 24 hours a day. And then all of a sudden, one day, the Fish Hut burned down. And this is where my dad was never a suspect or a person of interest because he was leasing the space. But he was leasing the space from a guy who was kind of known as a little bit of the rubbing the nose.
Might have been
mafia. Okay.
Make things go away. Yeah.
Right. Now, so this is a guy. This would be a guy that probably, when it came to arson, potentially might have actually known. God, I gotta be careful how I speak here. I think he's dead, but still, he might have known what he was doing. But nobody told me about it. My dad, I was an adult when my dad basically told me the guy that we were renting it from was probably for the best. I wasn't all that comfortable being a tenant there.
Yeah.
And it burned down and it was, my dad got the insurance money for whatever his fryers and all that.
Yeah.
Stuff
all
was,
his but, stuff. Oh
yeah,
my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, your dad, man. And then he went on to produce a movie. He went on to produce a movie after that.
Oh, he did so many things. I could write a book about my dad.
That'd be a documentary right there, man. That would be a good one. Text message, bad arson jobs, which are a majority of them, are easy to prove. The ones that have a legitimate source and little motive are tough to prove. Yeah, motive's a big one, I would say.
So I gotta take up a smoking habit, I think, if I'm ever going to pull off this arson
job.
Plus, Our house, we put all kinds of, you got the spray foam in, which means that you've got all kind of anti-arson spray all over everything or flame retardant stuff. I don't think, knock on wood, I don't think I could burn my house down if I tried. Yeah.
No. Yeah. No, I wouldn't.
But as it's been well documented, I smoke 3 packs a day. And Brandy has always tried to get on me about falling asleep while smoking. Happens all the time. Do you hear me?
That's
hey, Ben,
right.
Can you take a clip of that and send it to me?
Yeah.
Put it in a folder. Put it in a folder called Future Alibis for Seth.
That's funny. Yeah, a few people have texted in that the whole arson part of the story was actually allegedly arson committed on a business partner establishment of the Turkey Leg Hut. Yeah, so there you go. All right, so the documentary will have all this when it comes out.
I feel like if you're in any... The problem is the motivation for arson is that you're in financial distress.
Yeah.
And that's A, number one, the first thing they're going to look at.
Yeah, right.
Right. This arson happened to, 3 days after you missed your third mortgage
payment.
Yeah, okay.
That's the fingerprints on the gun equivalent, right? I mean, that's...
Why,
yeah.
You bought 18 gas tanks the day that you got your foreclosure notice. That's interesting.
Right. It's crazy. All right, so Chris Sims, he's Pro Football Talk with Mike Florio. Does a lot. He's on NBC. Got his hands in a lot of things football-wise, and he's got a list of quarterbacks. He power ranks the quarterbacks in the NFL every year at about this time of year. We're very thankful for that because it generates a lot of content. He is very high. This is the highest I've seen anybody on CJ Stroud heading into this coming season. I think there were a lot of people that were this high, just quantitatively. He's got him seventh on his QB power rankings. I think CJ lived in the top 6 to 10 quarterbacks last offseason, Seth, coming off that rookie year. You couldn't find a power ranking that didn't have CJ Stroud in the top 10 after he was offensive rookie of the year. It's a little different this year, but Chris Sims is still in on CJ Stroud. Here is Sims saying a lot of the negatives for the Texans on offense last year were not CJ's fault.
A lot of the film and the negative is not CJ Stroud. I go, no, it's the Houston Texans. He can't block them. He can't get open for them. He can't call another play where it's like, wait, we can't block, so now we're sending. Remember, we had this conversation during the season. Wait, we can't block anybody, so we're keeping everybody in the block, so now we only have two or three people going out and routes downfield. Oh, and that's right, Nico Collins is hurt, and Stephon Diggs is not playing. So who's getting open? Oh, hey, we got Tank Dell. Okay, yeah, but he's about to get hurt too, so then what are we going to do there? I mean, so that's where we all threw it on C.J. Stroud for the step back, and I'd go, it was anything but that.
I think the biggest thing that we didn't address earlier, Sean, is really just how bad they were at consistently running the football. Because everything that involves quarterbacks in the passing game, whether it's their fault, whether it's not their fault, it's impossible on a play-by-play basis to say who's to blame, or a lot of the times it is, because you don't know who's running the wrong routes, like who is responsible for this pass protection, et cetera, et cetera. And by and large, 100% Chris Sims is correct in that. And especially when it comes to having a young center being the one in charge of making the calls on both run and pass plays, there were a lot of times that there's nothing CJ could do about it. But especially when you can't consistently run the ball, but you're a team who wants to run the ball, he just ended up in more second and longs and third and longs than anybody else. I 100%, if you want to go all stat nerd and say, oh, establishing the run is a fallacy, et cetera. Yes, there's a lot of truth when you say that. Like establishing the run to set up the pass, it's overblown. But you do have to at least competently run the ball. If you can't competently run the ball, then teams, it's so much easier to defend.
Yeah.
The teams, the way linebackers would just sit back 7 yards off the line of scrimmage, waiting to see if it was a run or a pass, because they were not that concerned about the run, but they were deep in coverage already. Like all of that, like any play action, it just didn't have any effect on the defense at all. And you're putting CJ in these situations where it's second and 10 and third and 10 so frequently that it's hard for any quarterback to convert those. That's why Pat Mahomes this year, one of the reasons, despite his numbers not being gaudy, one of the reasons they were still effective in winning games is that they would get to second and 5.
Yes.
They get to third and 4.
Yep.
Converting third and 4 is so much easier than converting third and 12.
That might be, as you lay that out, it's really good. As you lay that out, I'm thinking, okay, what are the things about Nick Caley's offense that as we get 5 or 6 weeks into the season, we're looking at it and going, okay, this thing's working. The biggest thing might be third and whatever. Like the Texans were third and the worst last year. You know, they were third and averaged like 7, 8, 9 yards. Like they were third and long all the time. Yeah. If they're consistently on third down in third and a much shorter distance, that tells me they're running the football. That tells me CJ is checking down when he needs to and taking the profit that you talked about earlier in the show. That might be the one metric that if they just get back to where CJ is in just manageable third down situations, then you're not worried about the offensive line getting on it. Yeah. You know, you can use the quick passing game to convert those. You don't have to take those deep drops and get hit under the chin as you're trying to hit Nico Collins 15 yards downfield because you're in third and 14, you know?
And this is where if you think about the ability to run and why you don't have to be an awesome running team to set up play action. You just have to be competent. That Tennessee game, that second one especially, if you think about some of the things the Texans would try to do with that Bobby Slowick offense, okay, they want to run the outside zone, and that sets up play action really well, et cetera, et cetera. Like Laremy Tunsil was when you're running to the left and Laremy Tunsil decides, oh, I'm just going to seal this defensive end off instead of really trying to physically overtake him.
Yeah.
And that would happen every single time. You would watch the Titans linebackers and they would just sit back. They were not worried about trying to get to the sideline in case the blocking was right. They would just sit back and wait for the cutback.
Yep.
And then they would, if it was, And if it was play action, great, because we're just sitting back waiting. We're not running laterally down the line. All the things that you would do to set up the bootleg, all the things that you would do to set up a cutback, they couldn't do any of it. Yep. So just that very essential thing of running the ball competently,
yep,
they were left without recourse, and it put them in bad down and distance situations. I mean, I could go about the way the whole offensive operation was. Did almost at every turn, they weren't doing things the right way to set CJ Stroud up for success.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Here is Sim saying CJ wasn't perfect, but he has no issue with CJ Stroud's decision making.
Was he perfect? No. Did he have some down moments? Sure, he did. But I think a lot of those down moments were more about like, oh no, the team's not playing well. We're not doing well on offense. I'm going to try to force something or make something happen, right? Or I'm under pressure and I'm trying to make big throws down the football field regardless of what I'm under and who's hitting me and who's open and not open. So that's what you look at. But I watch him and I go, I have no problem with his decision making. His decision making's really good.
Yeah, I mean, point out, you know, if you're just looking at stats, he more than doubled the number of interceptions he threw in his rookie year. So it's an easy thing to take issue with. He had some bad interceptions. He had 5 interceptions his rookie year. I think he had 12 this year. And there were some bad ones, you know.
There were, and one of the biggest things was that is probably at least partly because of injuries, he wasn't as pinpoint accurate. He had more instances. It wasn't as bad as the eyeball test, like watching on the TV copy at times or watching from the sideline in real time. You'd see some of the throws that looked like awful throws, and then you watch from the end zone and you realize, okay, actually, he did the best thing he could right there.
Yep.
But there were times where he threw some ducks that just were not typical of what you expect from CJ Stroud. And hopefully that was just because of whatever injuries he was dealing with.
Yeah.
I don't like the old saying of a quarterbacks are either accurate or are not accurate. That still has a lot of substance to it.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterbacks have done a better job of becoming accurate quarterbacks or improving their accuracy. But by and large, it's still almost like if you don't have it by the time you get to the NFL, you're hard pressed to get a lot more accurate with few exceptions.
And
if you have accuracy and you don't all of a sudden, usually it's because of injury.
The underthrow to Tank was sort of the red flag interception in the Detroit game where Tank's wide open in the end zone. It's 23-13. He hits that deep shot to Tank and you're up 17. Deep into the third quarter, and CJ just underthrew it, and Carlton Davis undercuts it and intercepts it, and the Lions come back and win the football game. Like that was a game losing play for the Texans.
And then he had one to Nico too that was just a real errant throw.
Yeah.
I think in the Ravens game, wasn't it?
I think so.
Out towards the sideline.
Yep.
Those are the things that you just didn't expect to see from him. That one. I'm glad you brought that one up to Tank. Because the other part of that, which is a classic thing that happens when quarterbacks are injured. You could see him kind of almost hesitate and consciously think about whether he should throw it or not.
Yeah.
Instead of just planting and going, it was almost like a methodical, like, oh, can I make this throw?
Well, and it was jarring because a year before that, he would have just let it rip. His rookie year, he was letting it rip on plays like
that Jacksonville game, that deep shot to Tank Dell in the Jacksonville game.
Right, in between three guys.
He didn't even know if he should.
It was wild. Ben, let's skip down to Sims 5 here, the very end, where Chris Sims points out that, hey, just look at the way the Texans operated this offseason. They agree with Chris Sims that CJ wasn't the problem.
There's a reason they fired their offensive coordinator after going to the playoffs 2 years in a row. There's a reason they've totally said the hell with our offensive line after going to the playoffs 2 years in a row. They are telling you without telling you the problems were the team, were not CJ Stroud. It was our pass protection scheme and our offensive line. And that's what they had to fix. And CJ Stroud, the Texans, I will not be shocked if they're in the Super Bowl this year.
Okay. I mean, that's a lot of confidence in the offensive line by putting a Super Bowl out there for the Houston Texans.
The one big questionable thing that I still have, and you know what? I'm going to write this in my Google. Remind me to put this in my Google Doc of Caserio questions the next time we talk to him. When you're running a system where the center is making the calls, And theoretically, that should help out a young quarterback because, you know, it takes a lot off of his plate. I really would have wished that they had a veteran center in there doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a big difference between Juice Scruggs or Jarrett Patterson and, say, eighth-year Chris Myers.
Right.
If you're going to be in a system where, like, you can have a guy that can actually see a lot that younger players aren't going to, there was a little bit of a brain drain there in having both a rookie or a second-year center and a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
That part, I don't know how you overcome that.
Yeah.
Because that's a really complex part of the game that takes a lot. Like, just go ahead and learn pass. Go ahead and watch a YouTube video about learning pass protection and tell me after 15 minutes if you got it all nailed down.
That's funny.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Well, that's funny because, the CJ's rookie year, Jarrett Patterson was the center for a chunk of it, but then he got hurt, and it was Michael Dieter for the rest of the year. Maybe just having a guy, you know, he'd been in the league a few years. Having a guy who just had that experience might have been why they were working better towards the end of his rookie year than in the second year.
And it's still a concern of mine going into this season is that, okay, CJ's going to be making the calls at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's great.
Yep.
Except there's a learning curve with that. And he did a lot of it at Ohio State, so it's not going to be as much of a drastic change for him as it is for the vast majority of quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, but it's a process. So there's going to be some hiccups along the way. That's the part that makes me nervous about, no matter how good Nick Caley is, no matter how well the offensive line can do as a group and perhaps rising above just what their names are on paper, that it's a lot for a young quarterback to handle. And you don't just go from freshman year to PhD in one training camp.
Yep.
So we'll watch and see on that.
No doubt. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. All right. Let's circle back to the Astros. Good night last night for the Astros. Is there a storm brewing for the Astros in a good way? We'll explain coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.